Full Service Radio.
Welcome to episode 9 of Politics with me, Paul Wharton. My fabulous co-host Stacey Rush is taking a little vacation from her already vacation-like life. She's in Anguilla. Well, we wish her well, and you know I'm not bitter at all. But today I have an incredible lineup for you. If this is your first time here, remember to check out previous episodes. I'm here every week at the wonderful Line Hotel in Washington, D.C. Today's a very special day. I don't know how I ended up in this position, but I will be in a traveling show tonight called Smart, Funny, and Black.
Yes.
And after you hear this theme music, I'm coming back with Miss Tiffany from Insecure on HBO. I told you she is in studio. So welcome to Politics. Amanda Seales ain't playing no games, y'all. She's been SAG since 92. The creator, innovator, the actress, comedian, and all-around it girl keeps us glued to the screen as Tiffany on HBO's hit show Insecure. And now she's brought her stage show Smart, Funny, and Black to DC's Lincoln Theater. Please welcome my favorite new homegirl, Amanda Seales.
Hello, Paul.
What's up, girl?
I'm good.
What is happening?
I'm happening.
You are so happening.
So many things going on.
There's so many things that I want to talk to you about. I am really intrigued. Around the time, I've heard some stories and you in interviews where you talk about the time where you went out to LA for a meeting and your mom and your cat were back at home and your mom sent you a picture of the frozen toilet. And you know, I moved to Harlem when I was 19 years old.
Okay.
So I lived there for a long time. Like, I know that Harlem life.
Yes.
And the thing about Harlem is you really need to check your block out in the summertime. Because, see, I moved in the winter. And then summer came around and I was like,
ooh, oh, everybody okay. is outside now.
Everybody's mm-hmm. outside now.
Yes.
But there were a few things that were going on in your life around the time that you decided to make that move. What were some of the other things happening that told you, you know what, Amanda, it's time to make the leap and go for yours?
I think it was also just kind of like, as an adult, it was time to become a grown-up. Like, I think adulting is like, just like, okay, I am a certain age, I have certain responsibilities, I handle those responsibilities. But growing up is like more so living in a purpose and having an intention-based mm-hmm. life. And also like facing yourself. And sometimes I think that for a lot of people that kind of happens more so like in a very common way with like starting a family, right? And having kids. Okay. And like you kind of just got to deal with things in a much bigger way when you have an entire other person who you are shaping and molding and being responsible for. But for a lot of us, like when you don't have kids, like you can stay in a very arrested place mm-hmm. for a long time when you don't have to do that. And I could I had reached a point in New York where it was like, what am I really doing? Like, I've been kind of living the same existence for like the past 10 years. And I didn't necessarily feel like I was making headway in like a specific direction. Mm-hmm. I was just like, kind of.
Did you feel like the marriage and the kids was going to be your path?
No, I knew that it wasn't.
That. Okay.
I knew that it wasn't. And so that's why I was like, okay, if that's not going to be it, then like, what am I doing to actualize these things for myself? And I feel like sometimes, well, for a lot of times, you got to change location.
Yeah.
Like, you got to pop your bubble and go somewhere else. And that's so hard for so many of us. Like,
absolutely.
Just doing that simple thing can be daunting. And a lot of times, though, it's that one thing that allows you to see yourself in a new way, like to see life in a different way, like, and to pursue things with a clearer, fresher perspective that can get you so much further in such a shorter time.
Absolutely.
And so that's what happened. I just realized, like, you know what, you got to make the leap. And when I moved to LA, I mean, my life changed almost immediately. Almost immediately. I mean, and I was on, and I won't even attribute it to Insecure solely, but just in general, like, quality of life.
Well, you talked about the BET project that you had, the web series.
I had a web series at BET. BET was doing nothing, literally. If there's a version of nothing that's less than nothing, that's what BET was doing to market it. I mean,
okay.
I only know about the show because I made the show.
Right. Right.
And even I'm like, did I have a show?
But you were smart enough to create the show.
Yes.
That gave you the consistent income that made you feel comfortable with moving. If you didn't have it, would you have been able to go?
I would have found a way, but this allowed me to feel comfortable in a different way. And it allowed me to be able to go to a new place and not have to stress money. And I could focus more on other things that were going to advance me, like creatively. So when I moved to LA, I was doing a web series there was the BET web series, but I had created a web series called Get Your Life. And so it kind of positioned me differently when I landed in LA, because I wasn't somebody that was showing up there like, give me a shot. I was also showing up with like, oh, I have my own thing that I'm doing. And so it changes your value.
Sure.
Because now it's like,
the way people receive you, the way you walk into the room.
Yes. And like, even when
I'm here, if you want me, as opposed to I've got my projects, I'm here, and maybe we can work together.
You know, and then with your peers, you know, I'm landing and I'm like, oh, you know, I'm doing this project, this web series, you know, I'd love to have you come in. So it allowed me like a real, very quick way to like get established amongst like the young black folks in Hollywood. And here we are 3 years later. About to be on season 4.
Doing it. Well, I'll tell you, the reason why I feel so connected to that story is in 2003, I helped develop and create a series on MTV called Made.
Of course.
And it did really well. And then I went to VH1, and then I went to TV Land, and I was doing all this work. And every year I had a new national show. And so I started to think as a creator, oh, well, every year the phone's going to ring, and I'll have a new show. And then I remember, like, I skipped a year. Every time I got a new show, I would change my apartment. And I was living in Harlem. I kept upgrading it to like a better apartment.
Of course.
I need a parlor floor. I need a duplex. And I would keep upgrading my apartment. And then one year I didn't get a call. And I'm like, that's odd. I didn't change my number. What's going on there? And then the next year, nobody called. And then I said, okay, this is problematic. And so what I decided to do, I said, okay, nobody's calling. So what have I learned through all the shows that I've done so far? I took everything that I learned. I packaged it up. Actually, I went to the CW to try to get a show deal.
Mm-hmm.
They offered me a ridiculously low amount of money
for
me to write it, create it, shoot a weekly talk show, promote it all week long. It airs on Saturday.
I know everybody around us right now. Like,
I know
I'm
you
looking
do.
Around. I'm like, that's Mike.
That's Mike. Hey, Mike. Hey, oh, my Mike. God. We'll be able to holler at them. Mike. That's crazy.
Like, it's bizarre when, like, because we're here at the Line Hotel.
Yeah.
They're having
YouTube black creators.
And it's like, I know all these Negroes.
I know. I told her before you came up. I told Fatima. I was like, all right, now listen, it's going to be a Negro reunion. A Negro reunion. But basically, so all that was going on. I got the offer from the CW. It wasn't enough. And I said, well, God, well, how can I make this work for me? So I took what I knew and I went to General Motors. And I pitched the idea to them, to their minority, diversity, marketing, and inclusion. And I pitched to them, and they wrote me a fat check.
Yes!
And then I went back to the CW, and I said, actually, we are going to do the show, except I'm going to hire you guys to be my production partners. I'll still create it. I'll still write it. And then I sold the other sponsorship. So that's what taught me how to become a producer.
Nice.
And I did it because the rent was due.
Yes. You will get pushed into figuring something out. Innovation happens a lot of time out of desperation.
Absolutely. Innovation happens a lot of time out of desperation. But I talk to a lot of creators and I wonder what is that thing that stops them from making that move. And it always comes down to money and security.
Yeah, it's true. And I feel like the best situation, though, is having money and security force you.
Mm-hmm.
Like figuring out how to let the lack of that force you. Like, no, because I don't have money and security right now is actually why I need to get out of here. Because
absolutely.
There's nothing else here. I knew I had reached my pinnacle in New York. I'd done everything that I could do with New York. I remember sitting on the steps of my building talking to my manager. And
where'd
I was
you live,
like,
by the way?
151st and Convent.
Okay.
And I was like, I gotta get out of here. And he was like, I'm gonna have you at the hood by next Christmas. Well, next Christmas, I sat on them same steps and was like,
I gotta get out of here.
It's Christmas.
Yeah.
I had to get out of here a year ago and I'm still here. And that was also when it reminds you, like, it really is all within you. Not to say that you don't get assistance and help from other people, but like, you have to know within you, like, that you have to have the insight to know who to get that help from.
Yeah.
And that you cannot wait on them to get it. Because I definitely was thinking, like, this person's absolutely going to be the way that I get out of here. They were not.
They weren't.
And what's crazy is that it wasn't until I got rid of them that I got out of there.
I remember you talking about the guy that you had put on the...
I'm like, which one?
the guy you saw your last night in town, and he told you, you know, nobody likes you. What is with... I've heard that. I've heard it personally. I've heard other people tell other people. It seems like it's right on the pinnacle of something, something that's really about to move and shift.
You heard that personally people, about you or
no,
about
yeah,
me?
Yeah. No. About
people
me.
Don't like you?
But you know what? It has nothing to do really do with me. It's like...
It's true. But, know, like, but like, your aura is so...
But you know, because I'm moving, shaking, like, I'll make it happen. I'll make a way out of no way. So right. I am like that kind of guy that I thought I counted that motherfucker out, you know, and I'm like, I'm back. Got new shoes. Got a new penthouse, you know. So it's like, damn it, foiled again. So when I heard that story, I was like, wow, what is that with our people?
I know.
That makes them say, you know, I've had to defend you. You've had to defend me. Well, then why are you telling me this now? It's like...
And what do you want for that?
Right.
What is the metric? Like, where do we go from this conversation?
And how do you think that's going to make me feel?
They never got that far.
It never got that far.
They never got fountain. That far. Well, I'm just saying in their thought process.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How it would make you feel was never an option.
Right.
And that's the part that I'd be like, I got to change my circle.
Was that a motivator to you, or were you just like, F them?
I mean, it was a motivator just in the sense that I have a problem, but I feel like because maybe it's because I'm an only child, like I try and hold on to friends, like, okay. And
I talked about this last week because I'm having a major
overhaul.
Purge.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's happening.
But, and we were just talking about this, me and Fatima, mm-hmm. like, and I think part of it is my empathy, right? And part of it is modesty. Because, like, you don't want to feel like I'm dissing you,
right.
You know? And, like, I know that I'm elevating, but I don't ever want that. I don't ever want to be one of these people where it's like, oh, so because you on another level, like, the little people don't count, quote unquote, or whatever, whatever. Like, I don't believe in that. So I try very hard to be very self-aware of, like, you know, being empathetic to my friends of, like, what are they feeling? And, like, am I maybe monopolizing the conversation? Or is it becoming all about, like, what Amanda's doing? And so because of that, I feel like I will try and hold on to friends thinking that, like, I need to do something different. Or and a lot of times it's not even, it's like you said, it's not about you.
It's not about
and
you.
And sometimes it's not about them either. It's just about time. Like, time is just, you guys have different interests. Compatibility isn't there anymore. It's a relationship. And that happens in all different kinds of relationships.
I was saying, I think last week or 2 weeks ago on the podcast, that this guy comes up to me at a bar. And, you know, I've been like a little famous for like 10, 12 years in D.C., mm-hmm. you know. So I have conversations with people. A lot of times, I don't know who I'm talking to, but yes. They're very familiar with me. You know?
Of course.
So this guy comes up and he's like, Paul Wharton. And he starts going through all this and he, look at that bitch over there. That bitch, you know, that bitch ain't got no money. Like, it was so negative and there were so many layers to it. And it was happy hour and I was trying to get a drink. And I'm like, I haven't even made it to the bar. I have to hear all this. And the guy noticed that I wasn't really engaged in what he was saying. And he said, you've changed. And I said, thank you.
Ah.
And then he looks at his friend and he's like, I've known Paul Wharton for 14 years. No. I said, no. You met me.
Of.
You met me 14 years ago. You have not known me for 14 years. And that got me thinking about other friends' expectations. Really, the quality of the friendships we've had. Yes, we met people 10 years ago, 15 years ago. But the quality of the relationship and the trust... and the loyalty.
Woo, honey.
You know what I'm saying?
Name it.
That's really.
Because I'm loyal to a fault.
You are.
Yes. And so I've had to check
burnt?
That. Oh, I mean, I'm third degree over here. It's just like, that's something, literally my therapist was like, we're going to start talking about friendships. That's what we're going to start talking about. Mm-hmm. Because it's a necessity, especially like as I'm kind of in a different space now, mm-hmm. to just be more careful about curating who's around me and who I can trust and who I can speak honestly around. And like, I don't want to have to think that way, but you just have to. Like, you have to consider the fact that like people change, their interests change, their intentions can change, you know? And so friends have I've definitely been burned before, but I feel like what I also have now is a better circle of friends that are aware of the fact that there are shady people.
Absolutely.
Like, I have more protectors.
Absolutely. And I love that you, even though you do this hit show Insecure, which I want to talk about your character Tiffany and where that character is going, you keep your thing going. One thing about me and the reason why I feel secure in my life is because I have like 10 things that I do. And I often have people come up and say, you know, you just need to focus on one thing. And I'm like, and how will I eat? Like, focus on one thing. And what if that doesn't work out?
But also, like, people love to put their limitations on you. Maybe you need to focus on
maybe
one
you
thing,
need to focus
but
on
I can
one
multitask.
Thing. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, hey, how you doing? That's Monique. So I want to talk about Insecure and Tiffany on Insecure.
Let's do it.
She has really evolved over the time. Like, first, for one thing, what do you have in common with Tiffany? Could you be Tiffany's friend?
I could be Tiffany's friend. I mean, my nails look crazy right now. She would be telling me, like, Amanda, get a manicure. I'm like, I don't have time.
Yeah.
I could be Tiffany's friend because one thing we do have in common is we're truth tellers.
Okay.
And, like, when Tiffany tells you something, in the beginning, I feel like it was positioned like she was pulling a punch. Like that scene in the hot tub where she's like, well, at least I'm not lying about my man.
Right.
But people forget, though, that like Issa came for her neck.
Yes.
Like she wasn't going to blow her up. she had it on the low. Like she was being a respectful friend. And then Issa came for her whole neck. Mm-hmm. And Tiffany
and she had to get out of there.
She was not here. She had to get out of there. Yeah. She was not here for it. And so that's the thing. Tiffany's just simply not here for it. And it gets positioned as like she's funny style because around that not here for itness is this very pulled up together person. Mm-hmm. But what I like about her character that we've grown to see is that like she's genuinely that person. Like she's not fraud. Like she's not wearing these clothes because she wants to look a certain way for everybody and she can't afford it. Like she's just like, I can afford it and I like this, so I'm wearing it.
I'm wearing it.
And I feel like fine. That's fine. She this season was the only one that really kept it 100.
Yeah.
Because even though Kelly is crazy, she still wasn't keeping it real with Issa and Molly in the same way that Tiffany was. And like when Tiffany's like, Issa had the nerve to be like, I mean, my life was crazy. I was moving. She's like, I'm having a baby.
Right.
Like
right,
a whole person is going to come out of my body.
Exactly.
And you're telling me about moving. I need y'all to stop it. And like, and it's just like, she, I think, is that I know a lot of people that relate to being that person in their friendships. And it's interesting, too, because people were like, I think they writing you off the show, girl. They writing you off the show.
I bet they won't.
I bet I got my renewal letter already.
I love
but
it. Yeah.
I think the good part, if they write it the way that I think they're going to, is showing that, like, this is a turning point in a friendship where y'all either realize, like, oh, we do need to step up. Mm-hmm. Or it dissipates or it dissolves because it's just like ego gets in the way, you know? And it's like, whatever. Like, she thinks she's better than us. Like, she thinks she can be on point and we're not on point and whoever. But no, like, friendships go through real changes. And the best friendships are ones where you can talk to the person and come have a meeting of the mind. So just how we've been talking about purging, in that same tone, I've had two friends where like we had to have like a real conversation and it just made us get over the hump. And that was really encouraging to me because it could have gone the other way where it's just like, well, nah, whatever. I don't trying to hear you. I ain't trying to hear that.
But I'm wondering what kind of friend you are in that, because my biggest pet peeve and the way that the purge happens for me, my biggest pet peeve is when you have an issue with a friend and a lot of times it's
and then they bring it to you 6 months later.
Or they just shut down.
No, that who has time for that?
But people do that. And I wonder if it's some form of PTSD from being treated badly in a relationship. No, really, I've really tried to figure this out because it's usually me and a black woman, because all my girlfriends are like black women. And I'm like, what makes you just stop shut down after all these years of, I love you. Oh, I love you. So you're my brother. And I'm like, you know, I really don't like when we were in Italy and you said that you lost your American Express card and your wallet. And then we went through 3 weeks on a trip and you never replaced it. And we got home and I covered you and you never said anything else about it. That was kind of wrong. Like, we're not fucking, you know, and I think that's a conversation that you should be able to have with your friend.
Yes. And they can be like, you know what? You're right. It's not that I didn't notice it. I was sidetracked, but you're right. How much do I owe you? And then I will sit here and pay it.
Well, you know what? But they know. And it's like, you know what? I need a minute to digest this. To digest what? You didn't need a minute to digest all that damn wine and cheese and shit you was eating.
Or you keep it 100. Like,
yeah.
That's when you got, and that's when you really see what people are about. Because when you get brought something real like that, you only have two choices. Face it or run. And when people say, like, I need to digest and all that stuff, a lot of times I'm like, you're running. Like, this is, you knew what this was. You just didn't think I was going to bring it to you. And I don't know who you thought I was that I wasn't going to bring it to you.
Absolutely.
You know, I had a friend recently whose husband, like, wouldn't mount my TV because he was upset that when I came over, he was like, ribbing me, and I was like, stop.
Okay.
I have 1 foot in the door.
Okay.
And you're already like going for my neck.
Right.
And when I said that to him, she was like, you know, give her some space.
Cause
give
you
her
just
a minute.
Moved.
I like
we're all up in it. We saw, look, you got a pool. We
you got a pool.
I saw your pool. I saw a little corner. I was like, that bitch got a pool. Got a pool. Wait, you know what I really want to know? When you were doing the Insta stories, I'm going to let you get back to that story. When you were doing the Insta stories the other day and you were like, I can't tell y'all yet.
Because it would be like, can we have a tour of the property?
I'm
like,
my God,
no. You know why? Because of everybody watching, there's going to be one person who's like on Google Maps looking like Google Earth. Like, I found it.
Right. Exactly. You know? Exactly. So what happened with the friend?
Well, she basically stood up for me, and he would not mount my TV for me because she stood up for me. And originally she had sent me a text and was like, so he's not going to be able to, he's unfortunately going to be unable to mount the TV. And I was like, okay, so unless he suffered an injury,
sure,
he is absolutely able. He just doesn't want to, because I know this nigga.
Yeah.
I'm like, so just keep
and
it 100.
He should be able to say that to you.
And that's the conversation we ended up really having. And she was like, you know, I'm just like managing his personality. And I was like, that's really not your job. And
it's really unfortunate.
It's really, yes.
For her.
It's really unfortunate for her. And I was, but we were able to have a real conversation about it being unfortunate for her without it being like, well, you're not married, so you don't know what this is like. And you don't know this. And it's like, okay, yeah, but I also just know empathy. And I know the realities of like, you shouldn't have to manage anybody, any grown person's existence.
Absolutely.
You got to manage your own.
I respect your friend for bringing that to you and having that conversation.
Me too. That's
I really
my dog.
Do. So I want to talk about you in Smart, Funny, and Black.
Yes.
Where did it all start?
Smart, Funny, and Black originally started in New York as a showcase of comics, because as a Black comic who really has a very like intellectual, witty way of speaking, a lot of times like that, because I wasn't such a physical comic and I don't come from necessarily like the traditional style of like Def Comedy Jam and Comic View, like folks would be like, oh, well, you're not doing like Black comedy. You're doing alt comedy. Like it would be like you're doing something else. Like you wouldn't be able to survive in like a Black room where you have to have a joke every 12 seconds and da da da. And I was like, what are we talking about? Like Blackness is not a monolith, and so our comedy shouldn't be a monolith either. And like, no one does that with white comics or, you know, people who benefit from white privilege. Like, they're just being comedians doing different. They're doing alt comedy. They're doing blue comedy. They're doing all different types of, you know, mainstream.
They're smashing watermelons. They're doing everything. I mean, they could do anything.
They're literally, they're just yelling. Yay!
Right.
And so I was like, you know, I don't feel like that should be the case. And when it came to Smart, Funny, and Black, I said, nah, I'm going to start a show literally called Smart, Funny, and Black, so you know exactly what it is. before you even get here. And so I started doing that. And then when I moved to LA, I was like, you know what? Let's switch it up. Let's like change the format. Let's make it more fun and not just a basic stand-up showcase. And that's when I created the game show. And it's just evolved. I've sold it to True TV. I took it back.
I heard about that. Now, how did you, as someone that has sold projects before, how did you get it back?
I mean, I got it back because at the end of the day, I had really good representation at the time, but okay. also because they were not equipped to do this project properly. Mm-hmm. And I gave every bit of my all.
Because it was Vice and True TV, right?
No, was this it? Was just True
TV. Oh, just True TV. Okay,
I mean, and we had offers from other places. Mm-hmm. And I had an offer on the table that I actually ended up turning down after True TV. But the reality was I, you know, gave them everything that I could and they still could not make the show happen simply because they were not willing to understand that this was a show about blackness. Their number one, you know, gripe was like, where do the white people fit in? And that's not part of this conversation.
Did you ever have a conversation with BET, with TV One? I mean, what was their feedback?
No, because they don't have money.
Okay.
And they just don't,
yeah.
you know? Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, like, I want to do a show that has a certain standard of quality.
Sure.
And we're going to need income in order
to
do that.
I think they have it. They just don't spend it on that. They just don't spend it on that. And it goes back to the question when I did that show Made in 2000. Yeah, it's true. On 2003 and... all the modeling agencies, the people at MTV said, look, you're black. You're the coach. If you pick a black girl, which I picked, we might come back and then cut you out. And I said, well, I don't think you're going to cut me out. And so I just did it on faith. I believed that they would keep me in, and they did. Well, yeah, so I would go to the modeling agencies, and I would look on the board, and they would have one black model out of 100. And I would say, well, maybe if you had more to offer your clients, they would hire more, because the agencies would say, well, we only have one black model because our clients don't hire them. I said, well, maybe they're only hiring this one model because that's all you're offering.
Exactly.
So that's a situation. And I guess that sometimes is the issue with black creators going to urban networks.
It's true. I mean, I think the other thing is that there's just like a lack of infrastructure. And to be perfectly honest, like, we are still new in the game. You know, we're still new in the game in terms of figuring out like the best courses of action, whether it be through marketing, production, you know, creative, even working with creatives, working with talent. I mean, a lot of times, like, you'll just do projects and you're like, why don't y'all know how to treat the talent?
Yeah.
Why y'all acting like I am just some regular anybody off the street? Like, if I'm not in a good headspace, this ain't going to be as dope as it can be. So,
absolutely.
Like, it's really not far-fetched for me to ask for a steamer for my clothes.
Sure. Like, and somebody to steam it.
And they be looking at you like, who the bitch next
right,
year
right.
is? I'm like, I know who I am. Mm-hmm. I know what we're doing. And so I feel like there's just an elevation that has to take place. But for Smart, Funny, and Black, my elevation was realizing that TV is not where it can be best utilized. In the live space, it allows for full freedom, and I can go anywhere in the world, and I am not being hindered or directed or sequestered by people who don't have the show's best interest at heart. And at the end of the day, if you put something on TV, they don't have the show's best interest at heart. The best interests are of the network first.
Yes.
And ain't no network that I know of, including BET or TV One, about the people first. They're about the dollar first.
The sponsors.
That's what they're about. Mm-hmm. And I get it. That's the commerce that they're in. I don't want Smart, Funny, and Black to be in that commerce.
Yeah.
We are in a place where we have the ability to never raise our tickets above $35. You know, we're going to have a podcast coming soon. We have merch. So we have all these other streams of income that allow us to keep the product, Smart, Funny, and Black, the live show, as contained and as... as protected as possible.
Absolutely. Well, I'm doing your show tonight.
Yes, you are.
This is gonna be crazy. What you didn't give me no show prep.
I didn't.
What in the world? How am I supposed to know what's going on?
I'm gonna prep you before the show. I'm gonna prep you before the show. I write the show according to
well, now
our
you
guests.
Know a lot more about
yes,
me.
Yes, so I'm really ready. We're gonna be good. We're good. I'm good. Yeah.
So what should the people expect that are coming to see the show though?
Smart, Funny, and Black is basically a live music and comedy game show experience. So you're gonna get sing-alongs, you're gonna get jokes, you're gonna get black history, but overall you're gonna get a safe space to be your whole black self.
Your whole black self. And I freaking love that. I want you to send a quick message to the millennials that are voting in the midterm elections. Because as of today,
y'all
you can vote.
To just do the shit.
Just do it.
Okay? Just do the shit. Like, you may not even know what the full outcome of it is. I know that in this information age, young folks have so much more access to information that now they're like, you know, I want to know all of the steps of something before I do it. And that is completely practical, and I get it. However, in this situation, you may not know what the full outcome is going to be, but you do need to know that you have a time limit.
Absolutely.
And that we are in a state of emergency in this country right now. At the very least, what voting does is shows our numbers to each other. Screw the powers that be. We sometimes need to remind each other. We're here.
Yeah.
We're here in numbers, and we don't always have to go along with the status quo because we think that they have more power. There's more of us than them.
Right.
And sometimes you just got to do something for a reason that seems completely outside of the reason that you're being told to do it. So the reason I'm telling you to vote is to show each other that we're here. Not just because you see me on Instagram, but because you saw me at the polls.
Amanda Seals.
Paul
HBO's
Walton.
Insecure, Smart, Funny, and Black creator, and now author. You were at your mama's house working on your book.
I'm working on my book. Actually, my book is based on my podcast. I have a podcast called Small Doses. It comes out every week. It's Small Doses, Potent Truths for Everyday Use. Every week we take a theme and break it down, whether it's side effects of going to college, side effects of type A personality, side effects of fuckboys, you name it. And the book is going to be based on that. So it's coming out fall 2019.
Oh, we will be supporting that. We will be listening to your podcast. Y'all better come to the show. Well, the show in DC is sold out.
We have two shows in DC, both sold
both
out at the Lincoln
out.
Theater, 1,100 tickets.
But if you
want
to get a little taste, going down to 7th and H, we got a big billboard.
You know, my mother texted me, everybody in D.C. who's ever did me dirty, yeah, and was like, you know, they're driving by that billboard. You know, they have to see it. Watch them. Watch them.
I love it. I love it. Will you all follow Amanda? Where can they find you? Amanda Seals on Instagram.
Amanda Seals on Instagram. Amanda Seals on YouTube. Smart, Funny, and Black on YouTube. Amanda Seals on Instagram. Amanda Seals on Twitter. And go to smartfunnyandblack.com and check us out.
I love it. All right. Coming up next, we have Monique Samuels from The Real Housewives of Potomac. Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you.
I'm going to see your ass tonight.
I'm delighted.
I'm going to be black.
Yes.
Smart and funny.
Oh.
Thanks, Amanda.
I'm a model. Lights. I'm a model. Fashion. I'm a model. Magazine. I'm a model. Television. I'm a model. Bright lights. I'm a model.
As I always like to say, we got to keep the lights on up in here. So I need to thank our sponsors. ABE Networks is the premier custom residential and commercial technology firm in the entire DMV. Their award-winning organization utilizes premier products fused with your home's decor, resulting in a top-tier personalized experience. Security systems, lighting controls, energy monitoring. I mean, if you want to control your blinds through your phone, they can do it all. Check them out at abenetworks.com. Mervis Diamonds. Engagement season is upon us. The holidays are the most popular time to get engaged, and Mervis Diamonds has you covered at their DC, Rockville, and Tysons location. Check out their newest collections of engagement rings and wedding bands, all at MervisDiamonds.com. Batar Cosmetic Institute, it's always a good time to pull yourself together. Skin, body, all the things that you need. Check them out at BatarCosmeticInstitute.com. And finally, Metro Offices, the premier full-service workspace solution for professionals in all of D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. With over 10 offices throughout the area, they are sure to have a location and service plan that works for you. From virtual plans to full-time offices, Metro Offices has you covered. Check them out at MetroOffice10.com. All right, my next guest is the fabulous Monique Samuels from The Real Housewives of Potomac. We first saw her make a splash in the season 2 premiere, and ever since then, we've loved her. I now call her my friend. And she also has a podcast called Not for Lazy Moms, as she's about to give birth, maybe here in the studio.
Oh my gosh.
To her, yes. Her child. Yes. Hey, baby.
I'm going to try not to laugh too hard, because I know I get to acting up when I'm with you, Paul.
You are the most pretty pregnant woman I think I've ever seen.
Thank you.
You are simply glowing and radiating beauty and and positive energy.
How
can you do all that and be on a Bravo Real Housewives show?
Oh my goodness. When I tell you, if it were my first pregnancy, it would be a lot different. But being that this is the third time I'm this far along, my body is feeling it. And the look on the outside does not match how I actually feel.
Really? You just want to be home in the bed?
Oh my God. I'm getting to that point. I have 6 weeks left. It's been a lot. It's been a lot. Yeah. I've been nonstop, and my body is telling me, slow down.
Slow down.
And I'm just getting to that point where, you know, I don't like being told what to do.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, this baby's taking over. It's holding my body hostage. I have to listen. So, yeah, I'm trying to do my best to just slow down a little bit, even though that's, like, darn near impossible
exactly.
right now.
So when you first came on the show, we all saw you as this new fresh face and a woman who was moving to Potomac and looking for houses. And every episode, you pop up in a different Bentley. And the girls were kind of hating a little bit. Giselle wasn't feeling you at that moment, right?
Oh, Lord. Yes.
But your personality shone through, and they couldn't help but like you. But of course, in true Housewives fashion, drama followed.
Of course. Of course. There wouldn't be no Housewives without the drama.
Without the drama. How much of that, in your opinion, on your show is not necessarily manufactured, but how much can you kind of let go immediately, and how much kind of still stays with you? Like, do you have true beefs?
Yes, we do have true beefs, and it just depends on the person. Like, some people you have a relationship with, you kind of like build a bond on and off camera. So when things go left field, that, you know, that's real. That really hurts. And then that's when the beef is real, because it's like, you know, you hurt me on a different level. People like Giselle, I just laugh at her. Like, I pay no attention.
Are y'all friends again? You're kind of like,
where always we've always been.
You're where you've always been.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, I just tolerate her. And, you know, it's just like, I'm just starting to accept that that is just who she is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, we're not built to just like coexist with everybody.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just have to be cordial and just keep it moving and do what you can. But, you know, I don't have time for people that always have to have an issue.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
I'm kind of wondering, what's the anxiety level with some of the women on that show in terms of doing and acting a certain way to stay on the show?
There's a lot of acting.
And are they doing it to stay on the show, to keep a champagne glass?
I think some women would like to portray this image of what they want to be.
That they don't need it. I don't care.
Right, right. So with me, I think that was probably, I think that was the main thing that kind of set me apart when I came to the show, is that I didn't care. I'm like, call me whatever you want. If you want to say I'm ghetto, if you want to say I'm new money, if you want to say I'm cool or whatever, I don't care. I'm just me. And I'm just glad that I'm being 100% authentic, and you can't take that from me. So the ones that, you know, that they feel like they have to keep up or do certain things and act a certain way, every season that goes by, a layer gets exposed.
Yeah.
And then the viewers are able to see what's the real story.
Sure.
So.
And then sometimes some don't come back. Like we saw last season, Charisse, who, that's the way I first met you.
Yeah.
At her house, she had a New Year's Eve party.
Yep.
And it's funny, she didn't tell me that you were going to be the new housewife, but I knew. I rolled up to that party, honey. There was a Bentley sitting out front. I said, whose is that? I mean, in Potomac, you know, people are rich, but like only a few people have Bentleys. I said, I want to know who that is.
That is funny. Oh, my gosh.
But no, but you just had such a magnetic personality, and you were just so striking. I thought, I bet that's the new housewife. And then I found out.
Lo and behold.
I found out that you were. And you all had your, initially you were very good friends on the show, and then you kind of had your ups and downs, because you're both New Jersey girls.
Yeah, we had a lot in common from the start, and we just like instantly hit it off. And sometimes I think when you have friends who you've known for a very long time, they see you bond with someone who you just met, basically in their mind. They're like, who's this new person that you're bonding with? And then they take issue with it. Mm-hmm. And to me, I'm always about quality over quantity, you know? So we had an instant sisterhood. And I think where we went wrong is that some of the women didn't like it. And then they did their best to just kind of get right in the middle of our friendship. And unfortunately, she allowed that to happen. And we have not talked in a very long time.
Such a shame. And now she's no longer on the show, actually. Or I don't know if you can say her.
Yeah, she's no longer on the show. Mm-hmm. Last season, she was a friend.
A friend, yeah.
And I haven't talked to her in a very long time.
Who do you like on the show? Like, who's your girl? I mean, how about Karen? Like,
I love Karen. Yeah? I love Candace. Yeah, those are my girls.
Okay.
Those are my girls. Those
I'm
are my
like,
girls.
Yes, I'm counting. I still have some fingers left.
Yeah. I mean, those were like the immediate, genuine bonds. Ashley and I, we actually bonded immediately as well. But, you know, you watch season three and you see that we had a very rocky end to, you know, a great friendship. And, you know, as you look at season four, you'll see how we are navigating that and just trying to move forward. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, is just trying to be able to mend relationships and then learning who you are dealing with so that you don't do things again that will harm the friendship. So, you know, season four is going really well, and I'm looking forward to it. I've had a nice, I call a break, because no one wants to argue with the pregnant woman.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how could they?
Well, some of them try. They say they don't want me to go from 0 to 100, but I think they've been missing it.
They've been missing it.
Like they're trying to push some buttons right now.
They want
now.
A little pop off.
Oh my god, they want it really bad, and I might have to give it to them.
Oh, I think you should. So when you do these shows, these Bravo shows, I mean, there's a big crew. There's a lot of camera people. You really, you know, you let them into your home. They're shooting in your bedroom, in your bathroom sometimes. They're in the car with you. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Lately in the news, recently in the news, of course, that, you know, the news broke about the accusations towards Peter, Ashley's husband. And
Michael.
I guess Michael, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah, Michael. Sorry. I guess it made me think, could that be a misunderstanding?
Right,
because
right.
I do know that those people become your friends. They become like family.
Yes, they do.
You know, and there's a certain familiarity that you have with the people. You know, you're hugging, you're kissing. Could you do a little pat on the butt, or could it be a misunderstanding? What was your initial thought on that?
My initial thought was, you know, if a person does feel violated, it doesn't matter the intent that the other person had when they, you know, whether they touched or patted or did whatever, you have to consider the person who felt violated and take it seriously. So that was my initial thought. I also wanted to be there to support Ashley, because as a wife, I could only imagine, you know, facing all of that scrutiny, and this is your husband who you want to protect. So on that level, I was definitely like, you know, all right, let me just try to support as much as I can. But then You get back to thinking about the fact that we are on TV. People do know our lives. They do know our habits watching the show. And we are targets. Mm-hmm. And it's sad to say, but it's true. So it's like you have to consider everything.
Did it change the way that you kind of move and work with the people that are shooting the show? Not that you, I'm sure you love the people that you work with, but does it change the way that you interact and allow them into your personal space?
It should. And I will be totally honest, because of my husband being a former NFL player, we've always had conversations about being targeted. We've always prepared ourselves in a manner in which we're totally, like, some people think that we're just over the top when it comes to protecting our privacy, protecting our kids. A lot of people who we are close with were very shocked that we would do a reality show because they know how private we are. So going into it, I make it a point when I meet different camera people or different crew or whomever is in my home, I make it a point to know who they are. Like if I see someone new, I'm like, hey, what's your name?
Yeah.
You know? So for me, I've already done those things where I have my assistant at the house. Anytime we're filming, she shuts the office doors. She tells the crew exactly where they can be. No one's roaming my house. Mm-hmm. If she sees someone using the wrong bathroom, she's like, oh, hold on. We got a bathroom right here for you. We keep everything contained. Whatever room we're filming in, that's the only room they're allowed to be in.
Yeah.
So we're on top of it. I don't know about the rest of the ladies, and I definitely would hope that they would pay more attention to those things.
Sure.
But thank God for my husband with his past experience being an NFL player. We just naturally just float like that. And then when it comes to my kids, of course, you know, I would have a sitter there with them. Like a lot of people, you know, they talk about me with my hunt for a nanny. I never had a nanny until I joined the show. Sure. I never needed one. Never I was always one. Hands-on. Yeah. I still am. But when it comes to things like that, if I'm filming in my home and my kids are not filming with me, where are the kids?
Exactly.
You know, so, and I'm not going to have my kids just by themselves and I have strangers in the house. So I do want to feel comfortable, and I want the production crew as well to feel comfortable at my home, but I'm still going to do my due diligence. Sure. So
has there ever been anything that hasn't been shown on the show that maybe you feel like should come to light, maybe something positive? You know, these shows are sometimes skew more dramatic, sometimes shady. Was there ever anything or anything that you're doing that you felt you were putting out into the world that was something that very positive that you wanted to show that just didn't make the cut?
Oh, so many things. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, we are filming for 4 months. I mean, sometimes, like, literally all day we're filming, all night we're filming, and from that full day, they may only take 30 seconds. They may take 1 minute. So there's a lot of, I do a lot of charitable work. I've done that since I was a young girl. So a lot of the charitable work that I've done, it hasn't really been shown, you know? So right now it just seems that my role has been, you know, the housewife who has the husband that has the money, and you know, she's looking for a nanny, and that's like pretty much it. But there's so much more that I do, and so much more that I actually had to hire help to take over because I'm doing the show. So I don't think that the viewers ever really got a full sense of what it is that I do.
Yeah.
You know, they just see me, you know, driving around in nice cars and, you know, and that's pretty much it. And I'm like, there's so much more to it. So hopefully as the seasons go by, they'll keep peeling back layers. I'm just going to keep doing me. And then eventually they're going to show, you know, more of what actually goes on outside of just the glam of it all.
I love it. But I love the glam of it all, too. I love it all. So you launched your podcast, Not for Lazy Moms.
Yes.
I want to talk about that because I heard a few moms just in passing kind of not how she knew I'm lazy. I wouldn't be lazy if my husband had all that money either.
Oh, yes.
You know, so what do you think about that, and where did it come from?
Okay, so Not for Lazy Moms actually started as an idea. When my husband was coaching in Alabama, we actually had to move down there, and my son had the worst allergies there. I tried everything. The doctors would give me medicine, wasn't working. It was recurring sinus infections. I'm like, something else has to give. I started doing research about essential oils. So that turned into me finding natural remedies for like everything, and it worked. So a lot of my friends who started having babies after me, they would research me by calling their friends, get my phone number, text me night and day. What can I do for this? What can I do for that? And one of my friends was like, you know what? Why don't you do like a Facebook page or a website or something like that where you can just put all your tips out there? This way we don't have to keep blowing your phone up.
Sure.
So I was like, you know what? That's a good idea. Started with a Facebook page. Now it's a website, and it's actually turned into what I call a lifestyle brand because it's not limited to just the natural remedies. We're also giving tips on maintaining yourself and just lifestyle tips in general. So I love to talk. Everybody knows that. And actually, the first live podcast I ever went to was yours.
Yeah. That was
you
fun,
and Sarah
right?
Frazier. It was amazing. I was blown away. And I was like, oh my God, this is what I want to do.
That's fantastic.
And I just thought the best way to do it would be to take something that I already have in the making and just make like an audible version of what I have on the website. And we can even go even deeper with conversation. And it's been so much fun. Like, I totally love it.
And your husband's on the show.
Yes.
Your husband and a few other people, right?
Yes. So I have my husband is my co-host along with cousin Hank, who you've seen on the show before. And then Allie Jacobs, who is a radio personality who I've met over the years from doing morning shows.
Oh, wow. I love
and, it. And yeah, it's amazing because it's so many different perspectives. When you hear Not for Lazy Moms, you think, oh, this is for women. But if you actually listen to the podcast, you'll have people tune in who aren't even married or have kids.
Wow.
And they'll give me feedback. And they're just like, first of all, y'all are hilarious. Just listening to y'all is fun. And then you're giving me tips on what I should look for in a man or what I should look for in a woman and how I should handle like my life when I start having kids. So they're getting like an edge up.
Wow.
You know,
I love it.
As opposed to going through the experience like some of us. And it's like, trying to learn while you're in the middle of everything. So it's been really fun. And having my husband there, it shows you a different dynamic of the way we interact with each other outside of what you see on Real Housewives of Potomac. So that's nice too.
So moms, I mean, you know, you hear from a lot of, especially new moms, God, I've got no energy. I'm tired.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, I guess there's a difference between, how do you see the difference between being just exhausted because you have a whole new life and this other person to care for and being lazy? Do you have a perspective on that?
Okay. So the name came from my daughter had a double ear infection. My mom came in town. She was just there for the weekend, and she watched me as I used these different natural remedies to basically cure her ear infection. Using natural remedies requires you to do things around the clock, as with being a mom, as with being a parent in general. And my mom said something that was so deep to me, and that's what resonated, and it stuck with me. And she said, wow, what you're doing is just not for the lazy.
Wow.
And I was like,
okay,
oh,
I get it. I get
not
it.
Not for lazy moms. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what mom is lazy? Being a mom in itself is like, you know, it's a verb. Yeah. It's nonstop work. You're constantly doing. Your job is 24/7, whether you're working from home, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, and whether you're a career mom. It's nonstop. So it's like we are the ones that are constantly moving. And when you put that title with it as a mom, that in itself just speaks volumes to me. So it was a play off of words. I like to be snarky. So when I came up with the title, it was just like, not for lazy moms. But really, this is the site for everybody.
It sounds like a great, I mean, it's a phenomenal brand and it's growing.
Yeah.
So if people want to see you in person, you're having a live show at AMP by Strathmore out in Bethesda, right?
Yes, November 8th.
November 8th. Yeah. So tell us about that show. What can people expect from that show?
I'm so excited about this show because the way I decided to come up with a topic that everyone can relate to. Not just parents, not just married couples, but even single people who may already have kids or they may not. Or they may have their thoughts and opinions on dating someone with kids.
Sure.
So I decided to come up with the topic of bonus children. And we're going to talk about what challenges you may face if you're dating or marrying into a relationship where children already exist. Or we're also going to explore the fact that when you say, for instance, someone gets divorced and they have kids and they want to get back into dating, how do you do that? How do you feel comfortable, you know, bringing some new person around your child? Or is there a certain time limit? Is there a time that you wait before you introduce? We want to know, because this is like the reality for so many different people, especially nowadays. So, you know, we're at a point where less people are getting married and they're dating and they're having children and then they break up and then it's like, okay, you know, I want to get back into dating, but I have this child. How do I maneuver that?
Yeah.
So we have some great guests. Actually, the Real Housewives of Potomac cast will be there.
Nice.
I have confirmed Karen Huger, Ashley and Michael, and Candace and Chris Bassett,
nice,
who are going to be guests.
Great.
And then my husband with his Redskin buddies, you know, he has some of them coming out.
Fantastic.
And yeah, Fred Smoot, he's a former safety with the Redskins. Yeah. He is hilarious. And he's going to be a guest as well. So it'll just be a night full of just laughter, mixing and mingling. If you buy a VIP ticket, you can actually come to the after party / meet and greet.
And we had a show there, and it's fab. It's a perfect place.
I love it. I love it. It's beautiful.
A beautiful bar. They have good food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really nice night out.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun, and it's my first show. If I would have known I would feel how I do this far along, I probably would have waited till after I had the baby to have my first live show.
Okay.
But I thought, you know, I'm basing my pregnancy off of the other two pregnancies.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I'll be 36 weeks. I'll be fine.
No problem.
Oh, my Lord.
I have at least 3 weeks left.
Right. And I'm like, geez, Lord, what was I thinking? But I'm going to push through. Everybody will see me full-blown pregnant.
I love
at that point. But it's going to be a fun night, and I'm really looking forward to it. We'll have some giveaways. You know, we'll have a DJ there playing some good music, and we'll just have some fun and just mix and mingle.
And where can people get tickets?
They can go to ampbystratmore.com,
okay,
or they can go on my Instagram, which is Mrs. Monique Samuels, and they can click the link in my bio, and it'll take you directly to notforlazymoms.com, where you can purchase the tickets as well.
I love it. Monique Samuels from the Real Housewives of Potomac. Officially my favorite housewife. I'm standing behind. I said what I said. Okay. Like Nene says.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for inspiring me to take this to this level.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
I'm telling you, the time that I came out, with you and Sarah, it was amazing, and you're doing an amazing job. And I'm just like, every time I'm just watching, like, all right, what's Paul up to now? So
I'm having a good old time. I'm having a good old time, and I can't wait till you have that baby.
Oh, me too.
So we can get out there and have us a cocktail.
You know? Yes. I'm. Yeah.
What are you most looking forward to after you have the baby? What's going to be your first non-pregnant thing that you do?
You're crazy.
I'm going to eat a full meal and actually enjoy it. Like, this baby takes everything from me. I'm like, I'm eating a full meal. I feel full, but I'm still not satisfied.
Oh my God.
I cannot wait to just get a menu and order some food.
Okay. And I'll have a cocktail then.
Okay.
Okay, baby. Yeah. Thank you, Monique Samuels. Check her out. Follow Amanda Seals as well. Check out Smart, Funny, and Black and Not for Lazy Moms. I'm PaulWhartonStyle.com, at PaulWhartonStyle on Instagram, and follow Paul Politics TV podcast on YouTube and every other place. Thank you, Monique.
Thank you.
Love you, baby.
Awesome. Love you.
Bye, guys.
Your friends, you can't keep no.